Hello, and welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. As always, I'm your intrepid co-host, Jeremy, and with me, as always, is...
It's me, it's Michael. How have you been?
I've been well. It's been a busy couple of weeks. Then there's the new year, there's gatherings, there's football games, there's all sorts of shenanigans and good times going on. But I'm ready for life to calm down a little bit. Unfortunately, that's probably not going to happen. How about yourself?
I've been doing quite all right. It's been cold, but it's been good.
Indeed. So, Michael, it's been a little while since we've brought up Hook's books, and I thought I would give you a little update on my progress, and I would like to tell you that I'm 20% through my goal already.
Oh, yeah. How many books did you want to read this year?
Aiming for 30.
Okay.
And that's 30 with an asterisk because I'm counting comic books on there. Or rather, graphic novels or collections or whatever you want to call those.
Omnibuses.
Omnibuy? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
but yes, I'm up to 6. And the reason why I'm doing the cheater's cheapskate way out is because I have a few 600-700 page doozies coming down the road, including the first one that I just started the other day called Perfidia by James Ellroy. Michael, does the name James Ellroy ring a bell?
It does not. You're going to have to teach me about this.
He is a crime writer, I guess you call him, a fictionalized crime writer. Most famous probably for writing L.A. Confidential,
the book
that was made into the movie.
Yes.
So this one is the first of a second L.A. quartet, wherein the first one had, you know, the Black Dahlia, L.A. Confidential, and two others. And this one is aiming more for the political side of it. His books take a little while to get in the rhythm of, but this one's set in L.A. at the time of the Pearl Harbor bombing. And it's been rather fascinating so far. His books get pretty gnarly. There's a lot of salty language, but that's to be expected in 1941 L.A.
Yeah, I don't think of people back then swearing, though, so it might be a little bit of a shock in some regards.
Well, it's not so much cursing in the way that you and I know it. It's a more casual use of racial slurs.
Ah, yes,
yeah.
I can imagine that.
Especially in the wake of the Pearl Harbor bombing. One can imagine certain things that were said.
Yes.
But that's enough of that unpleasantness. I just wanted to let you know that I am well on the way. I planned for a few of these big doozies coming down the way, so
I think that's
why I've gotten off to a good start. But
are you using this podcast as kind of an accountability to hold yourself accountable by kind of publicly declaring it?
Well, I mean, even if I suppose that can be done, but mostly it's just braggadocio.
Okay, yeah,
I read
that's
books,
good too.
But
classing it up.
Even if I don't make it through the 30, and you know, it's possible, man. Summer holds a lot of surprises that we never see coming. I'll lie if I have to.
Okay.
So far I haven't had to, so we're okay.
Very good.
What about yourself? What do you got for me this week, Michael?
I'm gonna jump into beer brag.
Go for it.
And actually this is kind of not really a brag. It's actually kind of a beer
bust,
but it wasn't because of the beer itself. Let me just tell you. So
I had
from Magic Hat.
Fort Collins? Or is that...
No, they're in Vermont, I believe.
Oh, I was way off. Continue.
So, yes, I had from them Electric Peel, which is a...
Nice.
Yeah.
I get it.
Little play on the MGMT. Is that how you say it?
I think they go by management, but sure.
Okay. That song by them. So this was Electric Peel, a grapefruit IPA. And I was looking forward to having this for a very long time because it was in the back of my fridge for, I'm guessing about 9 months now.
Oh, no, Michael.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, actually, I was saving this for a possible meetup, and then things changed, and hosts changed,
yeah?
And life changed. So it was sitting there for a long time.
Oh, no.
And so I'm sure I have at some point, but not with my beer, not since I've been woke to beer.
Don't ever say that again.
I haven't had like a kind of stanky IPA like that. So like a hop forward brew mm-hmm. that's been sitting for a long time. And yeah, it definitely does not taste as good as it as it should. It has a really flat, bitter taste at the end, and not like a... Usually you can associate like hop bitterness with like pine or
oiliness.
Grass or fruit or so uh-huh. on. This was just like bad bitter, and it totally wiped out the back end of the palate, and you couldn't get any good flavors there. So I'm sure all those little alpha acids have turned and to other compounds that taste pretty bad.
Congeners? Am I using that correctly?
I don't know if that's for beer.
Okay. Well,
isn't that for like dark whiskeys? Dark liquors?
Oh, I have no clue. I just heard that word somewhere and I went with it.
Yeah. I think those are like off flavors leached in
from
barrel aging things. But
would you say that this gave you a bitter beer face?
Yeah, I guess so. Because after I drank it, I was like, ooh.
Bleh.
So yeah, I've kind of too bad for...
That is unfortunate. Have you had grapefruit sculpin?
Yeah, I think I've had that at some point.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, yeah.
Okay. So, now that I think about it with this bitter beer face nonsense, I distinctly remember those commercials as a child. And it was, you know, it's... I'm assuming it was some dank Stroh's-esque or Hams or...
It's Keystone, I believe.
Well, not the company that made the commercials. Just the beer that the people that were drinking to give them the bitter beer face. But at the time, the IPA renaissance had yet to happen. I think you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
How bitter is that really in, like, the big scheme of things? Or would these people just, like, turn inside out and be a giant walking bag of meat? Or they'd have, like, ruination or something like that?
They'd make the face and essentially suck themselves into their own mouth and
something
turn
like
inside
that.
Out from because it's so bitter compared to... what back then was considered bitter.
That's my point, yes.
Yeah, oh my.
Well, we'll have to find these people. And
right.
So you work on that.
If you type in bitter beer face into Google, you get some pretty hilarious images.
Are they all dead? All these people that were in those commercials?
I don't know. I think some are just people taking a picture of themselves with a dumb face.
Yeah, a lot of people do that these days. Michael, my beer brag.
Yeah.
Mine comes with a cash prize, sir.
Oh.
Because at the Iowa City Brew Labs Wednesday night bar exam, aka pub trivia, team the 1 in 21 and 1 took first place and got a free $25 gift certificate. Propelling us to victory, Michael, was their new Flanders Sour, or Flanders Red, called In Bruges.
Ooh.
It was not as fruity as I had anticipated, given it's, you know, it's got a deep, deep red color to it.
Yeah.
And it's got a little bit of tartness, a little bit of funk to it. I don't really know how to describe it other than funk. And a little bit of fruit to it. And I thought it was the perfect pub quiz beer because A, we won, and B, it's not something that you can just pound through and... give yourself problems in the latter parts of the rounds. It's definitely something that is meant to be savored. So yet another solid beer from the Iowa City Brew Lab. And I hope they keep going. I hope they keep going weird. I hope they keep going with their Session X. Sessionable IPAs, I guess you would call them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They keep getting weirder and weirder. And there's been a sizable crowd there the last few times I've been there. And it's been great.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I hear you have a surprise for me, perhaps a game of some sort.
Yeah. So speaking about Googling weird imagery.
Nice. Well done.
Yes. We're going to play Face again. I think played this about 3 episodes ago.
Something like that.
Yeah. So basically I look up a celebrity or somebody who is well known amongst everyone, and I try to describe their face without describing anything else about them, their occupation, their any sort of history or films or what they've been in, what they've done. With that description, Jeremy, and you, the audience at home, tries to guess who I'm referring to.
Let's do it.
Now, last time Jeremy correctly guessed Nick Cage.
It took a while.
I believe I described him as long face, horse-like, sometimes sideburns, sometimes has a widow's peak.
The widow's peak gave it away.
Yeah, you kind of get the gist there.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try this one more time. I'm going to type this person's name right into my search bar here and flip over to images. Oh boy, I don't even know where to start with this one. There's a variety.
Okay.
With this person's face, I think one constant is a pretty big nose. But it kind of suits his face.
Okay. So it's a he. Big nose.
Yes, it is a he. The big nose goes well on this face because it's a pretty big face, too.
Okay, big face.
Kind of big lantern jaw. He has pretty big ears as well, but they're not, like, sticking out or anything, but they're
just
pretty
large. Okay.
It kind of looks like, in some of these, it kind of looks like he could have been, and this is not what he is, but, like, a boxer. Almost looks like he could have been punched a few times.
Potentially cauliflower-eared.
He's no cauliflower ears, okay. But just a big, meaty face.
Okay.
I think I can say some of these pictures, it's obvious this person's wearing a lot of makeup.
Uh-huh.
Not as a glamour thing, but maybe as a...
It's an acting thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it John Cena?
You know, it's not John Cena, but actually, if I put those two faces next to each other, they'd be similar.
Okay.
I will say some of these pictures, some of that makeup is covering the ravages of aging.
Is it Busey?
And you are, and it's not Busey, but you're
dang,
you're warming up here.
Okay.
Okay. So the chin has a dimple in the middle of it.
Okay.
Kind of a butt chin, but it's more of a dimpled chin.
Okay. It's not Peter Griffin.
Say blue eyes.
Blue eyes.
Consistently, yeah, they look authentic.
Okay, it's not Cena, although similar. It's not
sideburns.
It's not Busey, but I'm getting close.
Yeah.
Is it De Niro?
Not De Niro.
Okay, person's getting old.
All right, I'm going to expand over to the hair.
Okay.
Face adjacent. A lot of these, he has kind of a butt cut type deal.
A butt cut?
Yeah, where you kind of split it in the middle and...
So he's got the hair curtains a la Chris Hardwick circa 1995?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay.
Some of them, it's slicked back. He has one here where he has a buzz cut. And let me throw this. I question the authenticity of some of these.
Okay, so he's wearing a wig.
Potentially.
Older, because ravages of age.
Covered up by makeup, yes.
Butt cut.
And or plastic surgery.
Okay.
Probably plastic surgery.
Lantern jawed. It can't be Chris Walken.
It's not Chris Walken.
Okay, his face is too weird.
It is really weird.
He's monstrous, one might say.
Let me give you another hint.
This is hard, man.
It's a hard game.
Uh-huh.
And I should remind you and the folks at home that the onus is on me to have you guess this face.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's only so many things you can say, though.
Right, yeah. Let's just say first one was Nick Cage.
Uh-huh.
So this is a very specific reason why I chose this second one.
Okay.
For the game of face.
Is it John Travolta?
It is.
Okay. I win. Sort of.
Just do the Google image for John Travolta.
I'm on it.
You're treated to a bevy of... Some of these, it just looks like he's, like, plastinated or something like that. And, you know, some look good. Yeah.
Michael, have you watched the O.J. Simpson show where he has all of the disturbing face putty on in order to play Robert Shapiro?
He is in that O.J. Simpson show?
Yeah, he's terrifying.
I did not know that. That is...
Everyone
I gotta do.
And their dog is in that show.
Oh my God, that's him?
Yeah, right?
That's pretty impressive, actually.
So now that you see John Travolta in that show with all the crazy face putty on,
uh-huh.
Google Robert Shapiro if you don't remember what he looks like.
There's a side-by-side
okay.
here.
Yeah, that's kind of terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not 100% accurate, but he's got those big, the wacky pronounced eyebrows going on and the receding hairline.
Yeah, they did that very well.
He's got to have, like, I mean, maybe eyebrow implants. Not the actual hair, because you can just color those in, I'm assuming. But
right.
I mean, like, a big Ferengi-esque ridge of meat underneath his eyebrows, because his eyes look like they're about an inch and a half sunk into his head.
Yeah.
Ugh. He should have gone with the plastinated.
Yeah, that would have been a good hint.
Ugh. Well done, Michael.
So, teaming up with Nick Cage in Face Off.
I see why you're going on now. It's a quality movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, that was good.
It was good. We, to continue with our ongoing theme of spilling the beans on the beer a little bit early.
Yeah.
Today we are doing Stone's Go-To IPA, a vibrant, hot-bursted session IPA. But before we get to that, the name of the beer got me thinking. Do you have a go-to? I know former co-host of the show, and, co-host in our hearts, Mike, spoke a lot about hitting the Mix 6 at his local stores. But sometimes, it's analysis paralysis will get the best of you. People may be yelling at you to hurry up so you can, get the pizza and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have a go-to?
Yeah, I think usually I will go for the sample pack Nuclearis.
Ah, so like the 12 with three or four different versions?
Yes, yeah, okay. Four different versions. Usually a Spotted Cow's in there.
Sure.
Which everyone likes. And then usually it's like Moon Man IPA, mm-hmm. or the one with the squirrel. And then like the other two, then there's always like a seasonal, and then the other one's kind of a variant, maybe two women. So yeah, and so you really can't lose.
It's true
with that. They're all always good beers, and so it's a good go-to. And if you get the sampler pack, you get a lot of beers for a good price. And
indeed, you do. Little bit of a cheat.
Yeah. Oh, so because it's a sample, and
because it's a sampler, it's like, what's your go-to beer? Four beers. Hooray! my go-to, Michael. And I just only recently realized this, is probably the Founders All Day IPA.
Oh.
It's we had some friends over the other night, and I was trying to find something that, didn't require a lot of effort, just a nice, easygoing beer. And oddly enough, another session IPA. And I was just realizing, I can't say I've ever not really enjoyed an All Day IPA.
Hmm, that's good. That's a good one to have. I wonder how that will compare then with this one, which is also, kind of, I assume, we'll have to learn a little bit about it, but kind of a sessionable IPA.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I actually kind of wanted to make an addendum about last week's beer.
Oh.
Moving on to this week's beer. So we have an IPA, so it's going to have some IBUs in it, which we'll get to in a second. But I was... forgot to say this about last week's beer, which was the Passion Fruit Kicker.
Oh, yeah.
From Green Flash.
Green Flash.
And it had very low IBU. I believe it had five.
Five,
and
yeah.
One thing that I missed out, and I kind of realized this towards the end of the episode, after the beer was sinking in, is with those low IBU beers, you miss out on some of the... what was that? What? Conjugers?
Conjugals?
Conjugers. Cognitive?
Cognitives?
So I guess some of the non-alcohol benefits of beer that come from the hops. So some of those like compounds that kind of give you a little beer buzz that you don't get from other alcohols.
Uh-huh.
Like it's some of the oils in the hops. Like
sure.
Probably going to say this wrong.
Lupulins.
So you get some of those compounds and they... kind of mellow you out, make you feel good beyond just the buzz that the alcohol can give you. I sound like a drunk right now.
And they make you cool, Michael. That's the most important part.
You hear that, kids? So yeah, I kind of missed out on that last week when we had that low IBU beer.
Yeah.
And it just didn't have that good impact. So I'm hoping this one with an IBU of 65 will kind of make up for that.
It should. So, before we go too far, in the alcoholic beverages industry, congeners are substances other than the desired type of alcohol, ethanol, produced during fermentation. These substances include small amounts of chemicals such as methanol and other alcohols, acetone, acetaldehyde, esters, tannins, and aldehydes. They are responsible for most of the taste and aroma of distilled alcoholic beverages and contribute to the taste of non-distilled drinks.
Oh, interesting.
So I suppose lupulins are, in fact, a congener.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty broad definition.
Well, they're not produced during fermentation, though, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not. It's dicey.
Anywho.
Right. Oh, also, this is totally not related, but another addendum. So last week we were talking about meat, and I forgot to tell you a great meat I made that I wanted to hear your thoughts on.
Go for it.
I made pork schnitzel.
Ooh, so delicious.
Yeah. Schnitzel. So that one's a little more involved.
Yeah.
It's not just the chicken skewers.
Sure. What was your coating on it?
Just,
Was there a coating?
Flour, egg, and breadcrumbs. I think with some paprika.
Most excellent. I am a big fan of using pretzels.
Ooh, that's like double the German.
That's right. But
I'll have to try that next time.
How did it go over with the consumer?
It was a big hit.
And we don't just think that this person is saying so. I don't know why. Perhaps for reasons that may be crying in the other room.
No, I think they really liked it.
Okay, good. Well, you can't go wrong with paprika, so paprika, yeah. Whatever. I'm told I say it weird.
There's three schnitzels, and
schnitzel.
All were consumed within a day's time period.
Why have you not tried a schnitzel, Michael?
No, I have not.
You should. It's delicious. But
yeah,
schnitzel cast is coming up later.
Okay. Anyway, I think we just digressed from the digression. Let's get back to Stone Go-To IPA.
Let's regress.
Yes. I can read the corporate description on this can.
It's a big one, man.
It's a long corporate description on a 16-ounce can.
I was going to say, they really packed it in on this tall boy.
I'll go for it, though. What the heck?
Go for it.
All right. So see how many times I screw up. You can count. Since day one, we've been abundantly forthright and fully transparent about our lust for hops. It's led us to craft many an IPA, most of them imperial, some intense for their time, and all timeless for their intensity.
One.
Go. Timeless in their intensity.
There you go.
For Stone Go-To IPA, we are embracing our hop obsession in a new way, funneling an abundance of lupulin-born bitterness into a session IPA, delivering all the fruity, piney character of a much bigger IPA. To accomplish this, we employed hop bursting. Oh, that sounds cool. A technique wherein an irrational amount of hops is added during the final phase of the brewing process to coax out extreme flavors and aromas while also imparting a burst of desirably pleasant bitterness. The result is an alpha acid rich beer that you can enjoy without missing out. This too. You can enjoy more of without missing out on the assertive hop flavor you, like us, crave. So sit back and go. Sit back and go to TWO with your new everyday go-to IPA and bask along with us in the glory of the almighty hop. That TWO threw me off.
It's a very common word, Michael.
And go to, but it should be TO, shouldn't it?
One second. I have heard.
Sit back and go to. Do they want you to drink two of these? Is that what they're getting at? I don't know.
I never would have noticed it had you not stopped and bumbled all over it, because I'm looking up hop bursting because I want to find more.
Yeah, on the front is the stone gargoyle logo surrounded by little ears of wheat with little hop cones. It says Stone Go-To IPA, kind of like a 50s diner style little arrow there. I don't know.
Yeah, this is hard.
Open house.
It almost seems like a... Stone's the only thing that comes up when I type in, like, hop bursting.
Yeah, it must have been a little thing they coined, I wonder.
Good Life Mountain Rescue from Bend, Oregon's youngest brewery's Good Life.
Oh.
What else do we got here? That's the only one that showed up.
Hmm.
Weird.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating idea.
I do like how they tell you about it, and they tell you in kind of brewing terms.
A little bit, yeah. And I mean, even if you're not a brewer or familiar with the process... You can still be like, hop bursting? It must be bursting with hops.
It's like the Sega Genesis, burst processing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever really figured out what they were talking about.
Burst processing.
I like that idea, though, at the end of the boil, because if you put hops in towards the end, you're going to get more of the flavor and less of the bitterness.
So it's essentially just like a massive dry hopping.
It should be more in line with what I like as far as IPAs go, more of the flavors and less of the bitterness.
Yeah.
A vibrant hop-bursted session IPA, 16-ounce can. Alcohol is 4.8%, distributed nationwide in 16-ounce cans and in on draft.
So, Michael, I don't know if you've noticed, but above the UPC code, there is a drink fresh warning on there. And
oh, yeah.
After I had seen this, I took a look on the bottom of my can.
Oh. Uh-oh.
When does yours say to be enjoyed by?
1/12/17.
Mine is tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
I win. Okay, cool.
I have faith. Exceeding this by about 3 weeks should be okay.
Do you think it's sort of like the idea of how you're supposed to, like, the expiration date on a yogurt isn't when it, like, immediately curdles and, like, becomes the Ark of a Covenant?
Yeah. Right.
Well, mine is, you know, going to be perfect until tomorrow, and then...
So, yeah, right, and tomorrow will turn to ash.
So we have, like, 3.5 hours to get through this, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, let's start cracking this open. 65 IBU, like I said. They put their rate beer rating on their website as well.
That's cool. That's bold, Dan.
Listen to these featured hops, Jeremy. You'll like this as a home brewer.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these I'm even going to butcher. I haven't heard of. Atanum, Amarillo, Cascade...
I've seen it. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. How did you say it?
Autonom.
Autonom. That sounds right. Autonom, Amarillo, Cascade, Chinook, Citra, Crystal, Magnum, Mosaic, Sterling, and Hopsteiner 06300.
That's got to be an experimental.
That sounds like it. Yeah.
That was like, what, so nine hops?
Yeah, 10.
10, damn. I wasn't counting.
So this should be a trip. Let's pour it. This enough is, talk.
It's got a nice finger and a half of foam at the top. It's got a nice pale straw color. It's about what one would expect from a beer of this style, I suppose.
Yeah, lighter.
If you didn't know any better and you were just looking at it from across the bar, one might mistake it for a very bad pour of like a Budweiser or something.
Yeah, it's hazy.
It is a little hazy. Mine's not too bad, though.
The smell, I can smell it right when I opened the can.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely bursting with hops. That is that is not a lie. But the real question is whether they could write checks that their beers can't cash.
Michael, right.
Let's go in, shall we?
Yeah, you go ahead. You go first.
I will. Fill the dead air while I'm in the
okay.
Nose deep, sir.
Yeah, the head is staying here. And ooh. Yeah, that nice floral bouquet of... just a bunch of smells, hoppy smells.
Oh my, that's wonderful, Michael. Go in. I'm curious to see what you're going to think about this one, because for me, the hops are obviously up front, but it also has a rather pleasant bitterness on the back end.
Yeah, it's definitely a bitter all around, front to back, kind of more of the aromatic type flavors up front, though, the grassy, floral. And then it goes bitter towards the end.
True.
The citric.
One of my problems that I have with IPAs occasionally is when they decide to go nuclear on the hop selection.
Yeah, because you can't really...
It just kind of all... I'm pretty sure I've brought this up before.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're using a paint roller and putting some sort of weird bitter alpha acid just straight onto your tongue, but without any of the unique characteristics that something like, say, a Mosaic hop would bring, or Cascade, or, you know, take your pick.
Yeah. Now, I think some of the bitterness I'm getting, because I'm getting kind of a lingering aftertaste, I'm wondering if it's that freshness factor that's coming in, or if that's the intent of the beer, because even as I talk now, I have a just kind of sitting on the back of my tongue like a giant Buddha statue is some bitter notes.
You're going to profane the Buddha, Michael?
Yeah, that wasn't nice to him, was it?
Whatever. He's a
he's chill.
I was pretty sure that whole way of being is predicated around being like, eh, I don't know.
So I don't know if you get that too, or...
I do. It's so for what it's worth, mine does not feel stale at all. I understand what you're talking about, because occasionally when you get, you know, an old beer,
an electric peel,
or friend of the show Steve and I actually broke out an old Belgian IPA that I think I bought when he purchased his home well over a year ago. It's been sitting in Brew Hoo Hoo Limited for that amount of time.
Was this the homebrew?
No.
Oh.
This is a something that I got from the Dirty John's value rack, where they put the beers that no one can find. Speaking of which, side note, if you want to get on that passion fruit kicker, you can get a six-pack for $5 at Dirty John's Grocery here in Iowa City. So I don't know if that just means they had too much stock or it's not popular or what the deal is, but if you want to try it and you want several of them to try, you can go for it. But
or if it's the dead of winter and, yeah.
No one wants a passion fruit. That might be it, too. In any case, that one had a very serious just grime almost. Like an oil slick. But it wasn't pleasant at all. Whereas this one, I feel the bitterness is rather nice.
Okay.
This might also be your need for delicate flavors in everything, Michael, from your schnitzel to your beers.
That but could be too.
As has been established time and time again, you are not the hop head of the group.
Well, yeah. But I'm willing to go there.
You are willing to go there, which is excellent. And they were not kidding when they were going to be funneling an abundance of lupulin-born bitterness into a session IPA.
Yeah, they're honest. And
yeah, this definitely has the hop character of a bigger beer, of a much bigger IPA.
That's for sure.
That one, that part is 100% correct. It almost... Sometimes I feel when there's these super aromatic beers or ones that have, you know, the hop, like a generous hopping late in the boil, that it's got a nice oily feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds horrible, like, you know, where there's like a slick on top of it or anything, but it's
like a cooking oil.
That's even worse.
Yeah,
but it's.
I know what you're saying though.
Like an essential oil, like okay,
yeah, there,
perfect.
That's
like
it.
If you were to like get a peppermint oil or
yeah, like lemon oils or yeah,
or tea tree or you know. Take your pick. But it just kind of coats the mouth, and I think it's rather delightful. It's definitely has a mix of the fruity, grassy, and piney hops in there. I'm getting a little bit of all of those, but it still kind of has that monster mash effect of just a billion different hops.
You're right. For me, it's the grassy notes that predominate.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the middle of the tongue type flavor.
I'm also getting a little bit of lemon in there too.
I think this was pretty inexpensive.
Yeah,
at least
definitely
for me.
I think it was like maybe
$2,
something like that's what I was gonna say.
Maybe a little more, and it's 16 ounces to boot, and then for all this hot flavor, it's even better. I'm about halfway done.
Good gravy, Michael. Party hard, man.
Well, yeah. I got to drink it to see what it tastes like.
Well, of course, but...
But already, the effects are much greater than what we had last week.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, this actually has a personality.
Right, it...
And I don't say that to badmouth Green Flash. I love Green Flash.
Yeah, it's very mellowing compared to last week.
Would this pass the Michael's sessionable?
As far as IPAs, it's pretty sessionable. I mean, obviously, I've been able to rip through it pretty easily.
True.
Again, sounding like an alcoholic there. But yeah, for an IPA, it's pretty sessionable. I mean, but you're going to find other varieties out there that you're going to be able to drink a lot more easy than this, I think.
So I think...
But it does have a low IB or low ABV, too.
So... That was going to be my next question, is it only the ABV that makes a session ale a session?
I mean,
technically, yes, it does.
Yes,
but,
technically, yes, but I think there's other things that you can factor into that
as the
drinker.
One of the things I enjoyed most about the All Day IPA, not to beat a dead horse, is that it's fairly simplistic is not the word. It's fairly clean cut in its hop profile.
I see. That'd probably be the key difference, yeah.
It's because this is not something that I feel like I could just hammer through. Unlike Michael, who, you know, the only way he can feel, well, no, I'm kidding. But it's very good, and there's a lot going on with these hops. That hop bursting is pretty delightful, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more complex than what I would think for a sessionable beer.
100%. I mean, I'm not going to suggest that you should use this as an eye-opener, but if one were to have an eye-opener, you could do a lot. This is not going the way I planned.
Right.
This would be a good tailgate beer.
Okay.
There we go. That's when it's acceptable to have eye-openers.
Oh, dear. I guess we can go into kind of our judgment process on this. I was going to ask you how you think this compares to All Day IPA.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure they each have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Definitely. This one, when I think of something that's sessionable, the ABV obviously comes into effect because it has to, because, you know, if you can't have like 4 Duvel in an afternoon and still be able to, you know, be coherent.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think is a pure sessionable beer, I would probably go All Day over this.
Okay.
If only because it doesn't have that spray paint effect of hops all over the palate on it.
Sure.
But if you're going for, like, this would be a good after work beer. Like, if you're going out to get some chicken wings or schnitzel or something like that, then you could probably have one of these and you wouldn't, like, if it's a Thursday night and you're like, eh, I want to go get some chicken wings. And you know, you have things to do when you get home. This would be a good, you could do a lot worse than this. It is about as full flavored of an IPA as I can think of. And I think the fact that the ABV is a little bit lower makes this one, gives it a leg up when compared to those bigger IPAs, because on some of those, I think we've complained in the past about how it's like an Imperial IPA is super, super sticky with sweetness, not necessarily the hops.
Mm-hmm.
And this one has a firm, it's got like, a, you know, that firm backbone to it. It's not thin by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not overwhelming like some of them can be.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So different strokes for different sessionable folks, I suppose.
That's right. Do you want to rate it, Jeremy?
I'm going to go in for one last test on this one. Michael, let me hear your thoughts while I'm doing this.
To me, the achievement here is how robust this is for a session IPA and the amount of boldness they put into it. For such a beer that's go-to, this is much more unique than I thought it was going to be. But
yeah, go-to is no longer a slur.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if it ever was, but I think I'm going to give this one a solid 4 out of 5, Michael.
Whoa.
Now that we're here in the FDR. I think we forgot to mention that, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool. You know what's happening. Yeah, 4 out of 5 for the reasons I've elucidated.
All right. Well, I'll take a SOJ here, a sip of judgment.
While you're doing that, I'm going to make mental notes on as to whether or not I think the aftertaste is gonna get your goat, because it's got the fruity front end and the grassy and the piney and the what have you.
I think that you have called it almost straight down the line. We fall into this fallacy, this trap of with IPAs and me, and I feel like I'm thwarting the process, because that back end of some of these IPAs just is, they say they're bringing out extreme flavors. Well, maybe it's a little too extreme on how bitter it is. This is a really good IPA, and I think go-to undersells it. Having said that, I have to rate with my heart, and this is probably not a beer for me, although I am enjoying it for what it is, but
be honest. Spit it out, boy.
3.25.
Fair enough. You're wrong, but I mean, you know, that's right as an American.
I know I'm wrong because this is a great beer, but it's just not one for me.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, it's out there.
3/4 of a point's worth of dissent.
So, if you like IPAs, get this for sure.
I definitely think
it's a very good value.
From a value standpoint alone, absolutely. But even, I mean, craft beer is not for the weak of wallet or weak of heart. They can get a little pricey, but, you know, now the more I think about it, go-to is not necessarily a bad thing in my mind.
Yeah.
It's like, it's good enough to be the one that's just like, oh, yeah, that one's good. I'm going to go to that one.
Yeah. Now, this has made me reevaluate what a session IPA can be and what it can do. So I got to give him points for that.
Most excellent. Michael, another good one.
Yeah. I'm looking at this gargoyle here. You remember that cartoon Gargoyles?
I do. I disliked it.
I don't think I ever watched it.
It was...
Yeah,
go for it.
On the fly trivia, how many episodes of Gargoyles, the cartoon show,
did you think? Jesus. 125.
I don't know this by heart, so I have to look this up.
Well, why did you ask it if you didn't know it by heart?
Okay. It ran for 3 seasons.
Uh-huh.
And it had 78 episodes.
That was way off.
Which is more than I would have thought.
Well, those old-timey cartoons and what shows of the 90s had like 25 episode seasons.
Yeah,
or
that's true.
26 in this case.
So there you go.
If I'm doing my math correctly, which is entirely possible, I'm not. But yeah, I never really liked it. I remember it debuting, but nah, not for me.
Nah.
No, I was always more of a Ninja Turtles guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I'm with you there.
But
yes.
Does not hold up well.
So, that was Stone Go To IPA.
Indeed it
Jeremy,
was.
Jeremy, why don't you go to the social media place?
I see what you did there. You can find us at APM Pod on just about anything. You can find us at APMPod@gmail.com. If you want to send us your own review, I'm sure we'll read it. You can find us at APM Pod on Twitter, at APM Pod. It's where you can see various updates coming down the pipe, maybe early announcements of the beers we're going to have. You can find us on iTunes. Leave a review, won't you? Please, leave a review. Go for it. You can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, RSS feeds anywhere.
Yeah.
You can find us at APM Pod on Facebook.
That's right. Yes.
And we have a nascent YouTube channel that I've yet
right.
to look at. But I'm told it's there, and I don't know how to edit videos, so it's probably going to be a lot of Michael's work on that one.
Well, it's pretty much still images, little excerpts from the show at this point.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a little platform to people want a little taste, they can get the little taste on YouTube.
And we can also violate a lot of copyright law doing that.
No, it's all on the up and up. I swear.
I mean, we could. We don't have to. I mean, you can go on there and watch copywritten stuff all day and night, Michael. Come on. You can. I think you can watch the entirety of Black Christmas, the 1974 original, on there. In near passable quality. It's not a cam, but the movie was subpar to begin with. So, if you want to see one of the first slasher movies ever made in a nasty little movie, you can check that out. Black Christmas. Not the remake. Don't watch it.
Little last minute advice there.
Last minute advice. It's
much appreciated as always, Jeremy.
It's a good Christmas movie to watch. It's kind of messed up, but what are you going to do? But in any case,
another one down the gullet.
Another one down the gullet. And thank you for listening. And for Michael, I am Jeremy.
And for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
This has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.